We have a subject on our heart today that we will be looking into. It's a familiar subject, but I believe it'll bring a blessing to all of us. We were looking to the Lord for guidance, and we believe we felt impressed to come forth with this. Notice, God-inspired decisions. God-inspired decisions. This is what we need today. The definition of decision, act, our process of deciding, especially by giving judgment, determination. Choice suggests the opportunity, our privilege of choosing freely. You know, we have some common decisions. We made a decision this morning to get up and get dressed and to come to the house of the Lord. We could have chosen to go out on the lake. We could have chosen to go shopping. We could have chosen just to lay in that bed. You know, that time sprang forward, and your body might be a little bit tired. But we chose and made a decision to come to the house of the Lord. God is going to meet us here, and He's going to bless us. Think about our decisions as we go through life. We make a decision what to eat to feed our natural bodies. We make a decision what we're going to wear today. We didn't come in our jogging outfits, did we? But we made a decision. We are going to the house of the Lord. We make a decision where to live, what type of car to drive, what kind of job or vocation that we have. These are decisions that we make. We also make a decision about where are we going to spend eternity. We have to prepare. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You do not accidentally stumble up into God's heaven. It's not going to work. It will take effort. But here's the thing. We have Jesus, the Savior, that will be right with us. He's a friend that is closer than a brother. He's with us. He knows and He understands. When things get turbulent, when things get, Lord, I'm almost at my wit's end corner. That is in the Bible. But God is right there to say, come a little closer, my child. And you make that decision to reach out to Him and say, Lord, I don't understand. Those clouds are hanging low. There is some decisions that I must make. But Lord, I want to make that God-inspired decision. I want to make that decision that I don't have regrets. You know, sometimes we can make a hasty decision, and you can regret that for years upon years. You may not ever fully recover. But listen, let us learn the secret of, Lord, I am going to make a decision, but I am going to seek You first in that hour of prayer, Lord. I'm going to lay it all out before You, Lord, because as the brother said, I can't even walk without You holding my hand, and I sure cannot make that decision. But Lord, I'm facing something of a large magnitude, and I need You to be with me, and You know He will supply that need. We thank the Lord for that. Sometimes we have made some decisions that have been some hasty, poor decisions. But even in that, we have a Savior that can come right along beside us and say, come on, my child. I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to show you the way. Get back on track. Sometimes you get off a little bit. But the Lord is so good. Isn't that wonderful? In the times in which we're living, with the perilous times and all, decisions that people are making. Some people make decisions and take another man's life. That's a very poor decision. But that is not a God-inspired decision. A God-inspired decision is to slow down and take account. Lord, where is my soul going to spend eternity? What am I doing? Where is my time getting away from me? What am I investing in? Where is my money going? Am I just throwing it away? These are some decisions that we must make. And may the Lord encourage us today. He's right here to help us. in our times of need, yes. Thinking about those God-inspired decisions. I want to remind you over there, I'm not going to turn there, but in Genesis, you can remember how that Abram and Lot, and he looked out over the plain and he saw it was well watered, kind of like the Garden of Eden. And he probably thought, this is just what I need. I'm going to have large herds and I'm going to be wealthy and I'm going to be able to do well and I'm going to have a lot of beautiful things to look upon. But you know how Abram, he said, you make your choice. He let him make his choice. He could have said, God called me and you just accompanied me. But he said, go ahead and make your choice. And he graciously let him do that. And he made a decision. He selected Sodom and Gomorrah and all of that. He probably didn't know at the time that he made the decision. Notice what I'm going to say. Some of the consequences that are going to come with that for Brother Lot. He got that land and he went on down and it said he pitched his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And that was not all. Pretty soon he was sitting at the gate of the city. Yes, he was, that same Lot. And eventually, what happened to him when the warning came that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed? And he said, go and warn your people. This is my paraphrasing. And he went down and they did not have the respect that they should have had for him because of some of the decisions that Lot had made. And it was just like an idle tale and they did not take heed. But listen, brothers and sisters, when we find ourselves in a situation like that, a barren land, flee to the Lord and say, Lord, you know the decision I've made. You know the consequences. His family had to suffer. I don't believe Lot understood when he made that choice that someday my wife, my bosom companion, was going to turn into a pillar of salt. He probably didn't have that on his radar and in his mind. But this is a decision. And one decision can pile up upon a top of another decision, or the same way that decision can deteriorate it and it can go down, down into a heap. We have a choice today. I wanted to remind you about Lot, and there's other things in Genesis that you can read, the consequences of the decision that he made. Notice with me, we that are parents, we have a great responsibility. The decisions that we make has a far reaching upon our family and upon our future. But God is able. We're thankful for the men and women that God has blessed to be saved and to be living for God and have left a legacy for their family. I was just noticing how even in this congregation, how that I'm going to point them out, Brother and Sister Lennon, I know they've gone through some things, that they have some children and maybe grandchildren that are endeavoring to serve the Lord. What great decisions, what great rewards that we have today, and we appreciate it. There's others of you that have made good decisions, and we appreciate that also. You know, we're not robots. I'm so thankful that we're not. We have a will. We can decide to serve the Lord, or we can decide to go the way of sin. Sin, the devil, is a hard taskmaster. People are wondering. They are despairing, no doubt, of life. I have some scriptures. We're going to get to those soon. They're probably wondering, what will tomorrow bring? Gloom and doom and more doom. High prices. But the God of heaven is well able to meet those needs and can help us to start making God-inspired decisions. That's what we need today. So we appreciate that today so very much. Turn with me to Genesis 3:1. This is about Adam and Eve. Way back there, they made some decisions. But the one we're going to talk about, we will start, Lord willing, in chapter 3:1-9. But I want to remind you, I do not plan to read every verse that's in this passage. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's the question. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden, God has said. We need to pay attention to what God has said and not try to make our human reasoning and get our own personal decisions and interpretation. But what God has said, it is settled. And we may as well count on it and bank on it and not try to go around the corner of the back door, because it is not going to work. That's going to end up in the category of a negative decision, a decision with consequences that have far-reaching effects. Lord, help us. All right, and God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That is very clear. Don't even be handling with, don't handle it. You need to get far away from sin or anything that what God has said. Listen, these things are our safeguards to help us from going out and getting more involved in other things where the enemy can trap us and get us all bound up. We're thankful for the word of God. All right. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Listen, brothers and sisters, there is no need to start reasoning with the enemy. There is no need to try to rationalize when thus say the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, for example, says, thou shalt not steal. Don't start saying, my prices are high and my wages are low and maybe I can just slip a little something off here. It's already told you, thou shalt not steal. Don't even entertain the thought. Don't even do any of those. You are wasting time, energy, and you're going to get yourself into trouble. So he already gave complete instructions for them. She should have gone on, but I know this is prophecy being fooled and not even wasted her time. But Lord, how often do we get caught up with it? It seems just the thing that I need. If I make this decision and cheat on my income tax, for example, I'm going to have more money. I may even can give to the work of God. No, that's not the way to do it. So Lord, help us today. All right. But you know what happened to them? She yielded. No, she yielded. She yielded. And as a result, and she gave to her husband, as a result, we all are born in sin today. And we needed to be redeemed back to God. But we are so very thankful that Jesus was willing to shed his blood for each one of us, that we can be redeemed back to God, even though the sin principle came into the world. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And there was some consequences and penalties for the decision that was made. She was going to bring forth children in sorrow, and the man was going to have to work by the sweat of his brow, and there was going to be thorns and all these other things. You read about it. It's over here in Genesis. But may the Lord help us. It's a very serious thing to take matters into our own hand and start making decisions and acting up on them. Lord bless today. All right, Adam and Eve. So that's going to be sufficient for them. We're going to move on. You know, I want you to all of us to be blessed, and we are going to be blessed. We will be turning, Lord willing, to another scripture right here. We will be going to, Lord willing, our next scripture will be found. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And God is so good to us today. We will be turning over here to Hebrews, Lord willing. And it's going to be 11 and 23 through 25. If you would excuse me just a moment. This is about Moses. His mother made a decision. She did not destroy him, even though she knew that she was supposed to have. It was dangerous. But she saw that he was a proper child or a beautiful child or pleasant child. And somehow she did not destroy him. But you know, God is with us parents when we make decisions. And we appreciate that today. Hebrews 11. And so as a result, he grew up. He had royalty. He had good training. He had Pharaoh's daughter, I believe, was able to rescue him out of the bulrushes and out of the water. And think about this. And then the sister said, do you want me to go get a handmaiden and look how God was working in Moses' life? She did not go get a foster parent. She did not go and get a child, but she went and got the biological mother. Isn't that a beautiful thing? How God was preparing Moses to be the leader someday. God, you don't know the preparation, but the decisions that we make, it seems like so small and insignificant, but God can multiply them and use them to the glory of God. And so we have Moses. He was a leader, and he was able to help the Egyptian. But notice in Hebrews 11 and 23, we want to read this right now. By faith, it takes faith to make a God-inspired decision. When he was born, notice, was hid 3 months. They took a chance and a risk of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They made a decision. Brothers and sisters, we are living, I'm going to remind you, in 2026. We do not know the decisions and things that may come against the people of God. But is our mind made up? Lord, I'm going to follow you all the way. I am not going to falter, Lord. I'm going to go with you all the way. I've made that decision. You know, they say sometime making a decision is part of the battle. But not only making the decision, stay with the decision. Work with the decision. Don't cast it out and say, it's gotten old fashioned and I've gotten tired and I think I made a mistake. But no, Lord, I'm going through. If I have to, whatever the price, whatever I have to face, Lord, I know my head, my goal is towards heaven. If you need to, just look on up to the skies and say, Lord, you know the way that I take. Lord, you are that great and mighty God. Lord, I know you've been with me when I've been laying on my bed and when I've had the tears that flowed. And when I made the decision like Job, I'm going to go all the way. So the Lord is going to be with you in those decisions. He's going to come with his angels and with his power, and he's going to strengthen you, and you're going to be able to make a firmer decision to serve the Lord all the way and to be a blessing. So here we have Moses. It's going to take faith in God too. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he did what? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Thank the Lord. There was something inside of him that was able to him to help him to navigate, for helping to make the wholesome, God-inspired decision to help him, choosing rather to suffer what? Affliction with the people of God. We will be suffering some affliction, but we are going to be able to be victorious with the Lord's help. Then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in heaven. For he had respect, thank the Lord, unto the recompense of the reward. Moses, consider, his mother could have gone right along with the decree, destroyed her son, we wouldn't have been reading about Moses today. But she made the decision to be God-fearing. May we be encouraged today. We do not know the end result, but ask the Lord, Lord, help me to have a God-inspired decision, not just one, but live my life in that way. And the Lord has surely blessed you today. We appreciate it. Job's 23:8-12. We won't be able to explore all of these, but we're going to give you some highlights. This is Job. He was afflicted. He made a decision to stay with the Lord and to be faithful, you know. And he got to a place where he was very afflicted. He had his comforters that came and they said, maybe you've done something. All of that happened to Job. But listen, he had it settled. I am going to be faithful. Regardless if my body is afflicted, regardless if people don't understand, regardless if I'm labeled as whatever you want to say, old-fashioned, I don't want to say negative things today. But he had it determined, Lord, I'm going to be faithful. And it says in 23:8-12, I need to turn and read that, but I know it says something about, behold, I'll have it just very soon. Thank the Lord. Here we are. Behold, pay attention. I go forward, but he is not there. You'll say, I just felt so alone. I just made that decision to go on back out into the world. Somebody told me that they had a better time in sin than they had when they were living for the Lord. I'm still praying for that person. I don't believe that's true. But listen, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backwards, but I cannot receive him. On the left hand, I'm left-handed. This is my strong hand where he doth work. But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Notice this. 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. Thank the Lord. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Praise the Lord. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Now that is really some deep spiritual living. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. This is talking about Job. Listen, he made a decision, a God-inspired decision. Not one, multiply it by however many times there is a need. Just keep on making those God-inspired decisions. You will be blessed. Your life will be blessed. Your family will be blessed. Your nation will be blessed. Everybody that you come in contact with, there will be something about them. They'll be able to say, that man or woman is a man or woman of God. You don't have to put a sign on your back as such or on the side or anywhere else. All you have to do is pray, read your Bible, treat people right, and make sure nothing between you and your Savior. Live in a readiness, and God will bless you. So we thank you for this example of Job today. All right, let's move on. I don't know how much time is coming, but here we want to remind you of some people. One person that was almost persuaded. Lord, we need you today. You know, some really do say, I need the Lord. They don't know how to start. You try to tell them, come to church, and the Lord can make a difference in your life, and they don't always come and show up, or they don't understand. But listen, I'm going to tell you, let us not be weary. Let us not become discouraged. Let's keep on praying and keep holding on in behalf of these souls. In Acts 26, and I believe we want to turn to 27. Just a moment. I think that's what I wanted there. Yes, Acts 26 and 27. Here we are. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, so sad, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So close, but yet you can be so far. I want to remind you, it's a serious thing. We don't know who's in the audience, but you can just carry this with you. You might be able to be a blessing to someone else. I have been in many services where I have seen souls that have stood there. To me, this is just my observation. It seems that they are gripping the pew to keep from yielding to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. It is a very sad thing to reject the dealings of the Spirit of God. I've heard of some that have left the church chapel. This is not the only place that you can get saved. Notice what I'm saying. Talking about decision. They have left And I heard one person commented that the minister really did preach today. He was ushered out into eternity, just tragically in an accident. They don't have much hope of what happened to him. We know that God is the judge. But how much better we would have felt if that young person had have yielded that Sunday and came forward and given his heart to the Lord. It's a serious matter. Agrippa was almost persuaded. I haven't found in my Bible studying where he had given his heart to the Lord. I hope he did. But for the sake of this conversation, we're going to leave it. He was almost persuaded. Lord, help us today. Here's another one. In Acts 24, this person, you've heard of him before. His name was Felix. Acts 24 and 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. That's a good start. That's a good decision. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, notice, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this season. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." For he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Notice about it. Poor decisions. So close and yet so far. Lord, help us today. May we have a greater burden for souls that are needing him today. Notice with me, Lord, it touches my heart and it touches you too. When we go to this other passage here, Lord, you've been so good. And he has been so very good to help us today. And thankful to be here with the privilege to stand before you. It's not a drudgery, a dread. I'm happy to be a blessing. Yes. And I was teasing Brother Lennon a little bit, but I was sincerely praying to the Lord to give us guidance and understanding. And he has done that. Mark 10 and 17. We're going to read that passage there, some of it. This is about a young man. And it touches my heart. Somebody said a rich young ruler. You can name it how you want to, but listen. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. He put forth some effort. He wasn't being slothful. He wasn't saying maybe or I should. It seemed like he was recognizing there's something missing in my life. I need some help there. He came running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He had respect. That's a good decision. He had respect. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandment. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother." Now we can stop right there. This is an outstanding young man. This is one that you probably wouldn't mind him becoming your son-in-law. I mean, think about it. This is a good young man. But he had a lack. He had a void there. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Yes. You know, Jesus still loves people that are doing things that they shouldn't do. They're making poor decisions. Their life is wrapped up. They're losing their health. They're losing their money. Their children are being neglected. Poor decisions. Lord, help us today. We're not talking about the people of God. We're talking about people in general that have these tendencies towards doing, making poor decisions that are not God-inspired. Lord, help us today. All right, let's see what else he said. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest." Is he speaking that to any of us today? one thing thou lackest. Let's take it to another level. We may not be out in sin. We may be making those good God-inspired decisions, but there may be one thing lacking in our experience that we need to measure up, that we need to surrender it all to you, Lord, that we need to just let the stoppers go and say, Lord, I have flung myself recklessly out, and not for a negative, for a positive, that you can use me as you will. But he let this young man know, one thing thou lackest. And Jesus, I think this was Jesus here, he put his finger right on it. He didn't say guesswork, or maybe it's this. You know how the enemy comes and he might can accuse you, maybe this and maybe that, and all these things come flooding before you. The Spirit of God doesn't work like that. He'll let you know, this is what you need to work on. This is what I am not pleased with. This is where you did not wait for me. This is where you made a poor decision. This is where you need me to help you unravel the mess that you've gotten yourself into. And then you can be able to communicate with the Spirit. And you can say, yes, Lord, I did make an error there. Yes, Lord, I do need you. But here we have this young man. One thing thou lackest. It was clear to him. He seemed to have had some understanding because he had kept all those commandments. So he wasn't handicapped. He wasn't disabled in his thinking process, but he was able to understand. Isn't that wonderful? Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. That should have been a simple thing for him to do. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up thy cross and follow me. Listen, the treasures in our heart, we make some decisions to not put God first. We don't always seek God first, but Lord, help us today. We want to make that decision, Lord, I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to take time to serve you. You know, it takes time to serve the Lord, and you want to be willing to do that. Make that decision, Lord, help us. And 23, and he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved. He was unhappy, for he had great possessions. Oh, Lord, bless us today.
Amen.
Our decisions, may they be God-inspired decisions. This is what we need. Our society would be so much better if everyone was careful to have God-inspired decisions. Isn't that a beautiful thought just to think about it? We wouldn't have to have the jails. We wouldn't need to have probably people that are losing their life because some people get angry because if you say or do something, they make a decision. They'll take you out of here. But all of that will be done away. We would have peace and harmony. That would be almost like heaven, wouldn't it? But we thank the Lord that we can still have the Lord to come and infuse that God-inspired decisions when we get into difficult situations and when we need them. So we thank the Lord for that. Notice with me in Luke 19, for the Son of God has done what? To come, to seek, and to save that which was lost. Thank the Lord for his goodness to all of us today. Let me remind you, adverse circumstances can become great spiritual growth opportunities when we wait and trust in God for deliverance. It is so very true. All right, we're just about finished. We have one other scripture. We'll actually two. Joshua 24 and 15. I want to leave us with a positive thought here. And this is very important for us today, because we need it as we make our decisions in life. And God is so good. We appreciate your time. We appreciate God being faithful to us. We appreciate everything. Just being in North Carolina, the beautiful weather and your beautiful faces. It has been a real blessing to us today. Joshua 24 and 15. And if it seem good unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, are the gods, that's the small g, of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, I'm going to tap on that too. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank the Lord. That is a decision that has far-reaching benefits. Thank the Lord for that today. Oh, we appreciate the goodness of God. You can be fat and flourishing in so many ways, Lord, if you serve the Lord. It pays dividends on top of dividends. People work jobs and they get that retirement and they say, well, I don't get very much money each month, but I have these fringe benefits. And when I retire someday and I get older, I'm going to be able to relax and I'm going to be able to travel because I put in my time. But how about it? When you make that decision to serve the Lord, you're going to put in your spiritual time. And you're wanting to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, like Paul did. And it's available for us today. We're not preaching some fairy tale out there in the high heavens that you can't attain to. Listen, one step at a time. One careful step at a time. Lord, help me. And the Lord has surely blessed us today. And he's been so good to each one of us. And we appreciate it. All right. The final scripture, Lord willing, is Hebrews 9 and 27. And this is a reminder. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Our life journey is a series of decisions upon decisions, of events. But the Lord will be with us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We appreciate your time and your attention. I have this song, you know, I have finished with the scriptures. But here's a song that I had. Sister MacDonald knows this. I know it too. But we're thankful that Jesus came to bring hope for the hopeless. If you made some decisions that have gotten you into a situation, the Lord is able to take care of that first. If you will allow me, I think I will read the lyrics for that. And then this other one, this says, when the night is upon you and you're needing a friend, there's no hope for the future and you're at your wit's end. The tears on your pillow won't ease the pain. You have nothing to lose. You have nothing to gain. But listen, there's hope for the hopeless. There's life for the lost. There's strength you can borrow from that old rugged cross. If you have made choices that have caused you decisions that you have shame and regret, bring those broken pieces right on to Jesus. If you can't bring them, just cast them and run for your life. Because sometimes you can't pick up all those broken pieces. But we're thankful there's hope for the hopeless. And you know, many people have found this to be a reality. And it is a reality. All right, there's strength you can borrow from that old rugged cross. There's light in the darkness that leads to the place. Thank the Lord. Where there's hope for the hopeless in his saving grace. Thank the Lord. When you get forgiveness, that's a good decision. You may think you're a failure. Life's not going your way. There's no hope for tomorrow. I don't even want to get up out of bed. Some people say they don't even want to open their blinds and drape. They're just kind of in a depressed state. That's a poor decision, but God is able to give you some sunshine into your soul. There's no hope for tomorrow, and there's doubts for today. If you search for the answers, leave questions to spare, lay it all at the altar, you will find comfort there. So there is hope for the hopeless. Thank the Lord for his goodness today. All right, dear ones, here we are for the conclusion. God-inspired decision. Continue to make the decision. This song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I'm going to say it loud. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I've said I really want some company with me. But this is a determination. I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. And you're going forward. You're not looking at the conditions round about you, but you're going in faith with God. No turning back. No turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I carry till I see Jesus. My cross I carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. God-inspired decisions. May the Spirit of God accompany this word. May He be with you this week. And as you make some decisions, you say, Lord, I want those God-inspired decisions. Amen. Thank you for your time, your prayers, and this opportunity to be with you all. We appreciate the goodness of God. Amen. Amen.